The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And there was a lot of times where he didn't come home till really late, and I was scared. So I'm like, I don't know what he's gonna do. And there were really times that I thought he's gonna take his own life.
After struggling with PTSD, this former Marine is now helping other heroes dealing with trauma.
I heard about suicides, I heard about broken marriages, I heard about, you know, some of the same problems that I was struggling with, and realized that putting the uniform in the closet for the last time is not the end of my responsibility to those guys. Yeah.
I am so glad you joined us. Betty and I have been praying for a long time that God would give us an opportunity to show our personal gratitude and appreciation as individuals, as a family, and as a ministry for the individuals who serve in the armed services and all of our first responders here, for the appreciation, admiration, and love we have for them, for risking their lives and limbs and the separation from their own family, and oftentimes the loss of even being a part of family anymore, because they give their lives for freedom, they give their lives for us. And when I heard about Mighty Oaks, about a ministry that was giving recovery to people who had basically reached a point that it looked like there was no hope, and if they didn't find hope and help, they were going to end their lives. And the ministry is called Mighty Oaks. And as I looked at this, I know what a mighty oak does. It does cast a great shade, by the way. It's an incredible inspiration source of health to the whole nation. And I just wondered about this ministry. I looked into it, and I want to introduce you to Susanna Stalnecker. Is that right? And it is Jeremy Stalnecker.
Yes, sir.
And Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. So I want you to really cut to the chase.
Sure.
And I want you to tell us about your journey, but how in the world this ministry, which has the smile of God and the blessing of God, and really the blessing of people when they hear about it, because it does express, would you agree, appreciation and love
100%.
For the first responders and for the military, the armed service members.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. It does, and you know, our story is not unique, but it's our story. Mm-hmm. I served in the United States Marine Corps. That was a dream that I had from the time I was very young. And my parents, my dad was a pastor, and so they said, we'll support whatever God wants to do in your life, we'll support it, but we want you to go to college first. So I went to Christian College, and that's where I met Susanna, and in the process, was able to go through a commissioning program. I was commissioned as an infantry officer in the Marine Corps. We were married right before our last year of college. So before I was in the Marine Corps, we were married, and we quickly had a daughter. Did a lot of wonderful things in the Marine Corps. Really enjoyed our time, and I think we enjoyed it as a family too. It was an exciting time. We got to move around and meet great people and do wonderful things. And then the world came to a standstill on September 11th, 2001, and we're all familiar with that. And that changed everything. Eventually, what that meant for our family was in January of 2003, I deployed with the unit that I was a part of to Iraq. We were eventually March 19th of that year, part of the initial invasion into the country. We breached the berm between Kuwait and Iraq, went into the country, and our battalion, about 1,500, 1,200 Marines, secured the southern objective, made our way to Baghdad, did all of that, and then came home. And it's interesting, the only thing I'd ever pointed my life toward was military service. And if you want to be an infantry Marine, which I did, an infantry officer, which I did, being a part of something as historic as that was the pinnacle. That was the Super Bowl, right? That's what we got to do. We came home from Iraq. God had been working in our family. And I had already made the decision when I came home, I would get out of the Marine Corps and went to work on our church staff, which seems like a great place to land, a local church, right? And for those that are not part of local church ministry, I think that's harder than the Marine Corps. I'd rather be back. Combat is easier than local church. And what happened quickly in our story, it didn't take long. A month after getting back home from Iraq, so I'm leading Marines in combat. A month later, I'm working as an associate pastor on a church staff, and I lost myself in all of that. We talk about identity and we talk about purpose, and this is something we talk about in our program all the time. I couldn't get over what I had done and where I had been. And so that caused me to continue looking back over my shoulder and saying things like, I wish I was still there. Or the people here at this church have no idea what I've been through and what I've done. And remembering this was 2003, so conversations about trauma and post-traumatic stress, those weren't conversations anyone was having. I went from not knowing really who I was and how I fit to becoming very frustrated, to becoming very angry. And that first year home was horrible. I was extremely disruptive on a church staff, of all things. It's crazy to even think about, but to the point that eventually my pastor had to call me into his office and say, look, I love you, I love your family, but this is just not working. You're so disruptive here. But I wasn't just disruptive there, I was disruptive at home. And you know, I never put hands on my wife and my kids, but I did everything short of that. You know, the screaming, the yelling, the knocking things over, the creating an environment where your kids don't want to talk to you and be around you. Little kids, we had two little kids at the time. And so that was, you know, that was that first year coming home.
How was this affecting you? Because you had to be seeing it very clearly.
Yes, yes. It was difficult because, you know, we were in a church, on a church staff position. So we were in the very position to be able to help other people. And the church that we were a part of was a lot of military families, a lot of other military couples. And being in a church, like, leadership position, you know, didn't really feel like that we could talk about that we were struggling. And it just kind of started to, you know, the longer that it went on, we started like living separate lives. And so for me, I was like, he's got to figure himself out. He's got to figure whatever he's going through. He needs to figure that out. I'm just going to do my own thing. And I served in a couple of the ministries at the church as well. And so I just kind of kept, I feel like we were living separate lives. And after probably sometime within that first year, we were living in Southern California. Jeremy learned how to surf. And so I loved that because when he was surfing a lot, he was happy and everything was good. And that really became an outlet for him. And so he started surfing in the morning. He was surfing in the evening. He would surf on the weekends. And it was great. And I loved going to the beach. And so we would go to the beach and that was kind of our happy place, kind of. And it was very fulfilling for him to learn something new, but also to physically be doing something that really helped him and it helped us. And so over a period of time, it just kind of got better. And I felt, I was like, great, this is good. Like we're on the other side of it. We've gone through it. But we never talked about anything.
We never dealt with any of it.
We never really addressed it. It just kind of went away. And I felt like, okay, everything's fine now. But I think we still kind of kept living kind of separate lives.
Yeah. And during that year, you know, so I got to the point where my pastor had to say, look, we've got to figure something out. And that was a confrontation that I needed. And it pushed me to a place of taking responsibility. And there were other people that spoke into that as well. It was crazy looking back on it because I was the military guy on staff. So I was counseling young military couples. Meanwhile, our marriage was as close to falling apart as it probably ever was. And this is the struggle, right? When you come home and you don't know where to go for help or who to ask for help or where to get that help. So you do. You try to find ways to... For me, you know, that physical outlet was self-medication. For a lot of other people, it's drugs, it's alcohol. It can be a lot of things to just deaden the feeling and to deaden the pain and to let's just get to the other side of it. Well, me getting to the other side of it meant I became a pastor. So left that church. We had been there for a number of years, kind of moved past it, kind of strung it together. And then I started pastoring a church. And I think that's where things got really, really bad, which is... Again, it's crazy to think about that.
Did you not ever feel like you could open up to her about how you were feeling or that she wouldn't understand? Or did you understand more than you thought you did?
I did. You know, I didn't. And that's the interesting thing, that I talk about this a lot. And even after all this time, it still makes me feel really... I never asked him, like, what's going on with you? Like, how are you, like, why are you being like this? Like, do you need to get some help? Do you need to talk to someone? And like what Jeremy said, it wasn't really... Like, there was not really a lot of help for the guys that were getting out at that time. There was not, like, a transition period of time where let us get someone for you to talk to or anything like that. And so I never really thought, like, he must know what he's going through. So whatever that is, he needs to figure it out. Yeah. And I never really asked him. And even now, I do feel a lot of guilt for that because I am the person that should have come alongside him and that should have said, hey, can I help you with this? Like, do you want to talk about this? Like, or find someone for him to talk to? And I never even thought about that. And I just thought, whatever he's going through, he needs to figure it out. There were definitely times where I thought, if I'm going to be extremely honest, he had a gun that he kept in his truck, that was under the front seat of his truck. And he would drive around, and sometimes after he would get down at the church, I knew he would go and just like sit at the beach or, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of times where he didn't come home till really late, and I was scared. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't know what he's going to do. And there were really times that I thought he's going to take his own life because I didn't know what he was going through. And it was kind of unknown at the time. And I didn't know. And so I don't know if you felt like you couldn't talk to me, but that was definitely for me something that I didn't think about at the time, that I should be the one to come alongside him, to encourage him, to help him, or to help him try to find help in that. And so it was just that was kind of what was going on with me.
And I guess I wish you had, but I don't think I would have responded to that either.
Yeah.
Do you think you were actually going through what you now are helping other people get out
100%.
of? 100%. You were experiencing the very problem that impacts so many military.
That's exactly right.
PTSD, they call it. You think that's basically...
I think that's it, yes. And I didn't know that. I didn't talk to anyone, like Susanna said. There weren't organizations like Mighty Oaks. And then you move on with your life. So whether you're in business or, for me, in the ministry... To even express that I'm struggling with that felt like untouchable. I couldn't do that. And so, you know, Susanna would say, I'm preaching at this church that I'm supposed to be leading, and she didn't even want to be there because what I was telling other people to do was definitely not what I was doing. Yeah. And it's not how I was living.
And that was, I feel like, when it really almost came to a head for us is when we left that church for Jeremy to pastor a church. That was quite a ways from that support system that we had. Mm-hmm. And any kind of pieces that were put back together then, I feel like completely fell apart when we left that support system. And it was a lot of stress for us, this new ministry, and he was pastoring at that time. And it just, to me, was like, it started to kind of spiral again. Mm-hmm. And because we had never put the pieces together correctly to begin with, I just felt like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I did get to the point where I'm like, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. I don't want to be in ministry anymore. I don't want to have any part of this. And so I did start to go through the process at that time of I just wanted to leave. And so I did want a way out of this relationship because I'm like, I don't want to do this again. I don't want it to be like how it was then again. And so I did kind of start to go through that process. And I still remember thinking, like, I can leave and he can continue to do his thing and I'll do mine and I'm fine with the kids. And so that did kind of start to, I feel like that kind of came to a head for us at that time.
Yeah. I knew I had problems, but I thought I was the only one that had this problem. And I wouldn't have even said it was because of Iraq. I just had problems. And my wife was the problem, and other people were the problem, but I had problems. Mm-hmm. I had not kept in touch with anyone that I served with for about 10 years. And then one of the guys that I served with reached out to me. He said, I met this guy. He's starting this program called Mighty Oaks. And his name's Chad Robichaux, and he and his family, similar background, served in the Marine Corps, and they want to help other veterans from a faith perspective. So this isn't a clinical program. This is something else. That guy introduced me to Chad and his family. We got to know their family. And Mighty Oaks was getting started. Chad said, I'm trying to get this thing going. You've pastored, you've taught, you've developed curriculum, you've done all this stuff. Can you help us out? And so that was in 2012. And what I realized for the first time on that meeting and talking to those Marines was that I was not the only one. Mm-hmm. I have this picture hanging in my office, and it's of my platoon in Baghdad. And I've always looked at that with great fondness and pride that I brought those guys home. What I realized 10 years later was that I may have brought them home, but I deserted them when we got home. I heard about suicides. I heard about broken marriages. I heard about, you know, some of the same problems that I was struggling with, and realized that putting the uniform in the closet for the last time is not the end of my responsibility to those guys. Yeah. And that was in 2012. That turned something in my heart that began really giving us the tools as we were working through this to try to help other people, giving us the tools to put language around this, to understand it, and to put those pieces in place for us to move forward as well. So the story of Mighty Oaks, and this is everyone who helps in our program, everyone who leads in our program came through as a student, because we all start in the same place of brokenness and hopelessness and understanding that God the Creator has a plan for us, that our trauma, whatever it is in our past, doesn't need to define us, that there is a path forward, and that path is aligning to the life God has called us to live. And And that was so powerful in our lives and in thousands of other lives since mm-hmm. since then.
So would you say the transition in your life that began when you realized all this, about how long did that transition take to where you reached a place that you knew help is possible, mm-hmm. can be experienced, mm-hmm. and you need to be in a place where you helped it happen for others?
I think the realization took about one conversation when I sat with Marines that I had not seen in 10 years and I started to hear their stories. It was a Holy Spirit light bulb moment. The Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me and said, you have been negligent, and this is me being honest, you've been negligent in not sharing with these men the hope that you have as a Christian, the understanding that you have of God's plan for your life. That was a moment. I think the process of healing for us and then even learning how to help other people was much longer. And you know, that's an interesting part of the story is you can understand God has a plan and begin taking the steps forward, allowing God to work in your life. But that process is a lifelong process. Mm-hmm. And for so many men and women that are struggling with post-traumatic stress, they hope they can make the decision and now they're better. You make the decision and then over a lifetime, God works in your life.
So you moved into actually a leadership role
right.
with Mighty Oaks.
Right.
Now, a lot of these men had been through several different kind of programs.
Sure.
But the thing you saw as a pastor mm-hmm. and as a Christian, mm-hmm. both of you, was that if they didn't have Jesus where they were,
that's right.
They don't even have the way to the Father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't have the way to life and truth.
Right.
And so there needed to be a program where when you take the person through what some might call rehab, mm. but you call it a, let's just say, a miraculous right. Recreation
right.
of who God intends and will enable you to be and
that's
become.
Right.
And you went there. How long did it take when you went there and you began to deal with these people?
Yeah.
And I think you said, and you even have in your material and some of the testimonies, that the men and women who come there realize if this doesn't work, when right. this is over, I'm going to kill right. myself because right. I have no other way to even have hope. And how long did it take for you then begin to see the incredible effect?
Yeah. It's amazing, and it's so hard to explain. And unless you've been through it and seen it, it's hard to explain. But like you said, we'll have people show up on a Monday for a 5-day program. Now we have a long aftercare process and how we support people after our program. But we'll have people show up on a Monday for a 5-day program, and they'll make the statement, I've tried medication, I've tried the clinical programs, I've tried everything else. And if this doesn't work, then when I get home on Saturday, I'm going to end my life. Mm. And we lead with testimony. This is my story. This is where I am, and this is how God's worked in my life. We point people to the Creator that gives them the understanding of their identity and their purpose. And that transformation, as you know, when someone aligns their life to the life God created them to live, when they understand they can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ the Son, that moment happens in their heart where they have hope for the first time, perhaps in their life.
Susanna, I also know that God helped you through Mighty Oaks, too. It's not just for men.
No.
It's
mm-hmm.
women, too,
yes.
that are struggling
yes.
with
exactly.
the same thing.
I was able to be part of the team that started the women's program. Mm-hmm. That was in 2014. And I really think it was through that there was a lot of healing that took place in my life. Same as kind of with Jeremy, coming alongside other women who were willing to talk about their struggles and things that they were going through. And now we're able to share that with other women as well. And so we kind of did the same thing. You know, every woman that's on our women's programs team has kind of, we've been through a program as well to bring them to the place where they are today, just to kind of get on the road of healing. And so that's really when God started to continue to do work in my life as well. And when I started to see like my heart kind of soften even towards some of the things that Jeremy had been through and just talking to other women. And we kind of see that a lot. Women are really good at isolating themselves. And so through our program, that's one of the things that we talk about is talking about the things that you're dealing with, coming alongside other women who are dealing with the same struggles in their marriage and their family. And even in their life, you know, a lot of it is childhood trauma as well that then gets brought into, you know, combat trauma. And we have the opportunity in our women's program to serve female veterans and first responders as well. along with spouses. And so just coming alongside them and helping them to understand that, you know, they do have identity, they do have purpose, and that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and just to have the hope in that. And so, yes, there was a lot of healing for myself as well, just to be able to come alongside other women and to be around other women who had struggled in a lot of the same ways.
How long have you been doing this now?
We've been at it since 2012, so I guess that's 12 years.
All right. And has the program Mighty Oaks expanded throughout the country?
It has. We have 5 locations across the country. We have close to 900 students a year, men or women, that will come through one of those in-person programs from all over the country. And we serve them not only in that 5 days, but we serve them on the other side of that.
You know, I was looking at some of the information that I've been given, and I think you'd be interested in knowing it takes $3,500 for a person to go through the entire transformation process to be taken care of, because they stay there and they are looked after and they are guided. And what we're really asking God to let us do, Betty, because we're finding thousands of children that need food, and what we do, if we cease to do it or don't do it, they die. And so for us to be doing what we're doing, because we have sent money to help with whether it's Tunnel to Towers or different things, and we don't talk about that. We've always told you if we go over a goal, we will take the money that goes over and put it to similar, useful, meaningful outreaches and effective projects. We always do that, and that's what we'll always do. And so when we saw this, we felt like this is a way that we can help and help something grow, that when you take, this is the last step, these military people tell us, these first responders tell us, if this doesn't work, it's over. And so what we asked God to let us do is in a week to raise the funds to put 30 men through the program. Now, if it's $3,500, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could send a man through the program? Could you possibly do that? We'll just go online, get your bank card, and or write a check to it and let us know it's coming. But if we do this for the 30 people, it's $105,000. Now, that's above all the other responsibilities that we have to hold. And God, we're asking you to do that this week. We're asking you to give 30 men a new life. They risk their lives for our freedom, for us. And they do, the first responders do. Lord, the people in all the military services do. And God, we need to show the love and appreciation and admiration that we have for them. And this is the way to do it, in Jesus' name. Just simply let our people know that if they'll make that gift, how effective it can be.
That gift is the difference between a life saved and a life lost. But it's beyond that. It's generational. It's kids having families that they can grow up in and become productive adults. It's husbands and wives restoring a relationship. And that $3,500 number is important because we, years ago, made the decision, we're going to remove every obstacle for those who need to get the help. That means we don't charge for our program. If you attend our program, there's no charge to you. We have people from all over the country, as you mentioned. We fly them there. But that means it's very important that we raise that $3,500 per person. It changes individual lives, it changes families, and it changes legacies.
You know, I pray, God, that everybody that just heard that will do what they can. I don't know whether you could, by the blessings of God in your life and just what He put on your heart, to say thank you for risking your life, maybe losing limbs for our freedom. And I can do this. But you, if you gave $35, or 350, or 1,000, I mean, whatever you could do, we're going to do this. Betty, this week, you know, you and I have been praying, please let us as a ministry do something significant for the first responders to let them know how much we love them. So would you respond even now? Get your bank card, go online, call and make the gift, use that card like a check. If you write a check, make it to life. Please do it.
We live in a country with nearly 23 million veterans. Sadly, many of those who have served come home carrying the invisible scars of war. With 22 veteran suicides each day, and so many of our nation's heroes, including first responders, suffering post-traumatic stress, these men and women often live in despair. But you can help make a difference today and offer these warriors a bright new future. Life Outreach International is excited to honor our nation's bravest men and women as we partner to send 30 veterans and first responders through the Legacy Program offered by Mighty Oaks. Here, these heroes will be equipped with tools to fight through life's challenges and uncover their God-given purpose in life. At a cost of $3,500 per participant, a total of $105,000 is needed to make this possible. Please give what you can as a way of providing hope and saying thank you to those at the core of the freedoms we enjoy. Call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, you know, I just got called to repentance. Meeting said, James, it's for men and women. And I do know that. You're so awesome. And she's so sweet. Even when she corrects me.
Well, there's so many lives and families affected through this program. I really do believe it can bring families back together.
That's right.
That they thought were lost.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Well, I know y'all are going to be praying that everybody that can help will help.
Yes,
I wish we could actually just run way past what we're asking for. And I know you'd say, oh boy, and give you a call and say, hey, let's go beyond that. And you're the ones that you have brought about miracles. Mm-hmm. When we started out feeding thousands, you've ultimately had us saving millions of lives from starvation and from death. You have saved so many lives and led so many to Christ. Thank you for making the gift to help Mighty Oaks. Don't miss the program tomorrow. You're going to meet some other folks that are involved in this. Tell your friends to watch. And be sure now, you make that gift.
You're not dead until you're no longer breathing. And yet there are a lot of people who are breathing who are living like they're dead.
I started listening to them, and everything they said just kept hitting me in the heart over and over and over again. It's like all the things that I didn't know that I needed to hear. And I opened my heart to God that week, dude, and like, I've been a different person ever since. I mean, I can't even describe how quickly all that emptiness that I had that I couldn't fill with women, with drugs, with liquor, with just anything. Just, boom.
I was immediately greeted by a staff of men that knew what I was going through, had been in my shoes.
You could imagine a rope with 1,000 knots, and little by little, each knot was being undone.
Everything that I was told here just made sense to me. It's given me like a new lease on life.
I thank God for saving me.
They're exposing the pain for you to understand where it's coming from and for you to move forward.
This is the first week in a long time where I've laughed and I smiled.
When I think about my husband, I can't imagine the man that he was before. And now he's the one that brings the peace in our home. In the past 2 to 3 years, we've been through some of the hardest things personally, as parents, and just a lot of trials that we've ever been through. And I know it would have wrecked our marriage if we didn't have Mighty Oaks.
Tomorrow on Life Today, two veterans share their transformative experience of hope, healing, and restoration through a unique faith-based recovery program.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.